Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's only certain types of helicopters have wheels, like Airwolf.
Yeah, Michael Vincent, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
The late,
but
right?
This guy had just skids, and he didn't land on a beach. He landed on a rocky surface.
I'm willing to bet, Mike, that he had skids after the landing as well.
What I'm saying, there's a limit to family medicine.
Okay.
Anything that has to be done in the hospital and anything that has to be like looked at in your crotch area.
But other
so no
that,
procedures were ever done on like your dining room table?
No, I remember that one time.
Take the leg.
Take it from me, Mike. You can be the weakest link on a team and the team can still succeed.
Is that your theater arts team?
No, I was talking
about this show.
This show.
He's self-aware. He's come a long way.
He has.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show, the post-President's Day edition of the show. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday that actually feels like a Monday in chilly Southwest Florida, and also Leesburg,
chilly
Virginia, and Washington, D.C.
30 degrees here.
Well, that's 30 degrees is cold.
Yeah, 24 out here. I mean, 24 is frost on the windshield.
There we are. We're talking, it's Tuesday, and we're talking about the weather, but that's exciting.
Well, because you said chilly, and it's funny when you say it.
Yeah, because it's different. You got a different take.
Mike has his letters.
I think chilly for Mike is
60.
I think 60 degrees. Yeah, 60 degrees.
All right. I so kill just for 60. Remember what we say every time. For it. Don't get happy.
Yeah,
don't
do
so
it. True.
Don't
do it. So true.
You know, Mike, I think my dad is becoming a Floridian because, you know, he's in Miami and he said, it's just cold down here. I said, what's cold? He said, it's like 62.
The thing is, you're acclimated. And you have to realize that you guys, I mean, I'm on the surface of the sun.
Yeah, it does get pretty bad down there.
All year.
I'd love to be on the surface of the sun.
And that, well, you know what? I'm ready for it again, believe it or not. After this winter, I'm ready to be on the surface of the sun. It depends on where you live.
Being hot is better than being cold. We can all agree with that, right?
It's all relative.
No, being cold relative is much better.
I rarely talk about golf, but I feel like bragging today, so I'm going to brag.
Good.
Happy Valley had a tournament modeled in the style of the Ryder Cup, where a bunch of the guys, bunch of the dudes over there, young, old, in between, were all divided into countries. And when I signed up for this thing, I didn't realize what country I would get. Imagine my pure, unadulterated delight when I was assigned to Team Ireland.
Oh, I thought you'd be more of a South Africa guy.
No, I was very happy because I'm Irish, so I was really, and it doesn't, it's kind of random, so the fact that I was
diplomatic immunity.
I was very excited about that.
Did you have to bone up on Irish facts and things like a model UN? Or is
yes,
it just,
of course. That's what you do in a golf tournament. You bone up on facts about the country you're representing. No. This is just an exercise
Ireland
in competition. It's a lot of camaraderie, team dinners, talk to Oscar. You probably heard me in the middle of the first one Thursday night when I talked to you on the phone, and it was like
it's a lot going on.
A lot going on down there. It's the season.
It actually didn't sound like a party. It sounded like you were at a Toastmasters meeting.
Really?
Yes.
And how does that sound?
Yes. Like they're they're preparing their presentations.
Okay.
They did have presentations.
Yeah, they're going over
team
a handful.
Team captains were announced. Some more funny than others.
Very businesslike.
The Italian team, spectacular, when the guy came out in a chef's outfit and his co-captain came out dressed as a pizza. Mm. That was beautiful. But anywho, I'm here to say, we won. We were the champions.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Gobra. That's
a big deal.
Excellent. Yeah.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
What does that mean for your overall self-esteem and stature at the club?
Nothing.
Oh.
it's too large. It's you're really not noticed. I will say one of the bullies at the club when I was sitting at dinner on Thursday night looked around the table with a lot of good players. I was probably the highest handicap at the table, which means I was the least golfer. And he said, "Well, it looks like we got a strong team here." And he looks at me. He's a big, tall guy, former college athlete. "Well, we got a good team here." And he pointed at me like that. Oh. It really got into my head. Yeah. This is such a bully move. But I
outperform any other team members?
I was 50. I was batting 500. I won two and I lost two. But right. The one that I won was the individual, and that made me feel good. That made me feel so. I just
You've always been more of a narcissist let me shine type of guy.
No, right? Not a narcissist.
I didn't say narcissist. That'd be rude.
Yeah,
you perform under pressure.
Yeah. I do. But I mean, I when you're playing as a teammate, sometimes it's tough. And
from me, Mike, you can be the weakest link on a team and the team can still succeed.
Is that your theater arts team?
No, I was talking
about this show.
This show.
He's self-aware. He's come a long way.
He has. He's always been self-aware.
Do you feel like, I don't need the details and how boring it is, but each hole is a skin, right?
A skin, and they used to have a television program.
Skin to win.
I don't know if they have it anymore. The skins game means you go out with 20 golfers, and all of the 20 golfers put their scores in, and if you are the only one that gets a birdie on a particular hole and nobody else in your group does, you win a skin. In my group, you have to have what are called validated skins. Do you know what that is?
No.
A validated skin is once you get the low score on a hole, like a birdie, you have to go on to the next hole and get a net par or better. So not only do you get to, you have to have a good score on a hole, the next hole you have to have a good score also, or you don't get the skin.
See, I feel like that's like a hat on a hat. Like you already did the best score, and then you have to do something more.
But it would it eliminates 20 guys getting a skin. When you have to validate, the whole idea of a skin, Oscar, is that you're the only guy that gets it. And if you have a bunch of guys getting it, then there's no, the prize pool is diminished and you get like $1 for a skin, and that nobody wants to do that.
So there
you
want to
get $20 for a skin.
Cash money presented?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. Good. Now you've got me. What are we talking about?
For the team win?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
$240 for the kid.
Wait.
Why is that? That's pretty good.
That doesn't even cover your fee.
Doesn't cover my bar bill at the club.
Did you get less than other team members, or did the whole team get the same?
The whole team got the same. Okay. Handed out little envelopes. I was very excited. And obviously,
Or do you have to declare it?
I'd rather not say. But
I know I'm a Rube. You know how I'm a Rube? I'm a Rube. I asked that question.
Listen to me. I'm just rarely do I come in here and talk about it because you know what? There are people.
You're a terrible golfer.
Would it be accurate though in saying there's a segment of the audience that doesn't like me talking about it because it says he's down
elitist.
In Florida. He's got a good
it's
life
elitist.
Down here.
It is. It says you're out of touch. I love it because you're genuine. You're not going to lie about it. This is what you do.
It was a fun weekend, and I'm very, very excited.
Is this tournament a President's Day weekend traditional tournament? Do they do it every President's Day?
I don't know if it falls because President's Day falls on different weekends, so I don't think so.
Sure.
But the thing is, and then it was blast on out of there, off to the final flag football game of the season, and for the first time all season, my kid, not one, but two touchdowns.
Oh.
Woo!
Now, they lost the game. They lost the game.
Oh.
But he won the battle.
He was happy. It's onward to the regular, as he calls it, real football now. he'll be doing that. He is blissful. He is in the next room. He is on vacation this week. And this is my son in his happy place. Now, I'm not sure whether this bodes well for his future. My son's happy place, as I went in this morning, right before I came in here to tape this show, he is in his underwear on the floor with a bowl of Raisin Bran playing Madden. That's he is in his happy zone.
I think as adults, and this is really to the men out there, if we weren't married and, you know, we didn't have bills, we would just be playing PS5 or Xbox One all day in our underwear.
Yeah.
No absolutely. Questions.
Nothing like it. Playing games.
Yeah. I mean, Mac probably does that now.
I think really in a...
I don't want to hear that, Mac.
Thank you. A future society, perhaps when we figure out how to food and clothe ourselves and provide shelter and all that without this burden of the paper dollar, perhaps that's what we do as human beings. We play. We play. I think everyone wants to play.
Mike, you have actually taken it to the next level because you played for the paper dollar and succeeded.
Yeah,
I did.
So you're one step closer.
I'm talking about the human condition where...
Less fighting, more play.
If you're playing and you're happy and you're diverted and your diversions occupy all your time, you have less cause to get pissed off.
Yeah, people come to us, though, to be distracted and diverted.
Part of our job. Yeah. That's why when we get
happy
about
something... We don't want people to be too happy.
Well, I don't get happy. I got the letters. Yeah.
They come here. And also, you don't matter.
D-G-H. D-G-H.
Bulbs. There'll be a new shelf maybe going in today.
D-G-H.
I love the bulbs.
Boom.
Lit letters, yeah.
Bam.
See if they're still, if the battery still works.
Batteries.
D-G-H.
Oh, Mike, it did
Mac,
light
you
up.
Mac, you got my email?
Not a lot. I need that.
Yes.
Okay. So getting back to that, he's with me this week. And Mrs. O'Mara is slaying the dragon, and I am no longer covered by insurance, health insurance. So,
how did that happen?
You'd have to ask the people at Blue Cross Blue Shield that I was on the phone with, not all day, because there were maybe four separate phone calls that I got saying we've expedited it, they're working on it, and then it kicked. They kicked the can into today. And Oscar, you'll be happy to know I was completely collected and I was calm.
Thank you.
And you know, I'm playing out the string here. I got let me see, 3 more months before you know, I can get the old man health insurance, and that's what I'm waiting for. But the way it works, we have a dedicated person at the insurance company that Carla is in contact with because I don't like her, and Carla banned me from being on the phone with her because of her energy level. It's like that. Well, her energy level, finally, the chickens came home to roost, where she said, you're just going to have to call them. And this is after she had negotiated what was from a good policy that I had to a lesser policy to lower my premium. And then they just kicked me off in totality. And then I called back. She said, you'll have to call to get reinstated. And then they gave me a fortune bill that to reinstate that I have to pay January, February, March, which I've already paid January, and I should only have to pay February. So it's maddening. It's maddening.
Let's turn this negative into a positive.
Oh, that's a good skill you have, Oscar.
What would you suggest for anybody that's going through this? So someone that's you know, looking to transition, what would you do differently?
Take more of your patient pills. More of your patient's pills. That's what I would do. I would do that. I would take more of your patient's pills because it is a of all the things I deal with, and you can talk about what are the big ones? The phone company. The cable company, one and the same in many cases now.
Yeah.
Dealing with a big corporation of any kind, dealing with insurance companies, perhaps the greatest frustration point in the world. Mm-hmm. They are so big, and they are so convoluted, and they make errors so often that it is it's extremely frustrating. For some reason, yesterday, maybe it's because I'm looking at being old down the road, and I'm going to be a Medicare baby. That's maybe that's what it is. But you have to have insurance, you know, and that's where I am with
Mike,
that.
Mike, here's a positive as well. I want you to know that we are so close to birthday season. Only 9 days away.
Right around the corner.
And then it's just a countdown till the government, till Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam will take care of you.
No, not really. That's another myth.
Sam, I am.
Because they will not take care of you. They will take care of some of you, which in my case will be significant because I have paid so much. But they will not take care of you completely. That's not how it works.
Yeah, plus, I mean, look, the great thing, like in education, my dad always said that you know, that's the one thing people can't take away from you, like your education.
Right.
Yeah. In your case, you've got two hips. You've got scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I look at it that way.
Yeah.
I look at it that way. That with all I paid, if you added it all up, that's a
winner.
You know, that's a pretty good situation. But it's difficult still, even though the lady was very nice.
Yes.
When the call comes through and I see Florida Blue, which is our Blue Cross Blue Shield.
I thought
down
that was
here.
The Democratic.
I thought that the was
Florida
actually
Blue.
Arm. I thought I saw that
that's
on the
my
Spice
house.
Network.
Florida Blue.
Florida Blue.
Beautiful color.
I feel that sense of dread. It's really, really tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have had to deal with a lot.
Yeah, I remember not being insured as a young buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's frustrating.
I got my ankle busted up.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, God, this is probably not appropriate, but there are certain things you just can't see your relatives about. Mm-hmm. Let's be factual, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to show your brother or sister or your parents. So probably if they're all doctors in my case, so I'm never going to show them something that's like, hey, is this a mole or an STD?
You're not going to do that.
I'm not going to go there. That's embarrassing.
Okay.
Or, hey, is this an ingrown hair or an STD? Like, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Where are all these things that might be STDs?
Oh, like, you know, in the
down,
STD area. Yeah,
down
like, I'm not going to do that. Like,
what is this on my lip?
Yeah. Like, is this simplex 1 or 2? How do you know?
Can you look at the, I prepared a slide for your microscope. Can you look at this, please?
So,
you know, if you're an honorable husband and father, and you don't go astray, the stress level, you know, is no longer there of catting around.
I'm talking about when you're like 21 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm 21 years old.
My greatest fear when I was younger.
And when I'm 21, I remember, that's one thing I would never go to my brother or sister about, but you'll go to your family about, oh, a busted ankle if they're doctors, right?
Right. So you've had that advantage. Rob's been on his wife's policy for years, he's had that advantage. I do not have either one of those.
Your sister can't put a cast on you without going to the doctors.
But they have helped you health-wise in the past by consulting you and giving you direction on what you needed to do.
What I'm saying, there's a limit to family medicine.
Okay.
Anything that has to be done in the hospital and anything that has to be like looked at in your crotch area. You just don't look.
All right. But,
right?
But other than that.
So no procedures were ever done on like your dining room table?
No. I remember the one time.
Take the leg.
No. Do you remember when they sutured me without any anesthesia? That same deal.
I remember the story about the eggshell.
No, I had a huge splinter come out of my deck and go through my toe, and my sister and brother they cauterized it and they literally sewed me up right there without any numbing cream or anesthesia in the house. Done. And then the other side was that I couldn't get a cast, and they're probably homemade casts now that you can just buy off Amazon. I'm sure they'll send it to you.
I get it.
But I remember using a friend's boot to hobble around WHFS in two tight jeans and small jackets, like I was, you know, going to skateboard later on. And they were like, isn't that boot too big for you? And I'm like, oh, like I don't have health insurance yet. CBS radio, boo.
But it was like a medicinal boot. It wasn't like a cowboy boot.
Yeah, it wasn't a cowboy boot. But it wasn't anything you saw like a doctor give you.
It was given
to a relative years ago.
But did you have insurance in those days?
No.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
I rolled the dice for 3 years, and my mom, when that happened, she was like, what's going on? She's like, I was like, I didn't get insurance from CBS yet. And she said, you don't have insurance?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went for a few years without insurance, and it's a horrifying thing.
It's the fear. That's how they
get
you.
And it's worse when you have kids. You worry about, because I actually have.
You didn't have insurance with kids?
After the kids. The kids were in, they were 10 and 12, I think, when we were without insurance. But I remember when we were insured by CBS, that's when Robert was going through all his cancer stuff. I was habitually putting in claims, $120,000. And I can't imagine him going through leukemia treatment. We would have been homeless. Seriously. And I mean, it was just go fax these amounts. And it's like, well, here's $80,000 in treatment. Here's $100,000 in treatment.
You know, you've never talked about that. And I find that absolutely fascinating. You hear about it, and the ramifications of not having insurance, you know, you're out there, right? I mean,
it's the biggest gamble you can take almost in life. It
good
is.
Good Lord.
Well, it, wow. No, it's not. It's not. I think it's a. It is, right?
Yeah.
That's the gamble.
We if would have. Are, he was I, in
and
treatment.
This is
for,
dumb, and I might ahead, sound like ahead. A rube here, but I'm asking you. So, and I know there are going to be people rolling their eyes at me of right course. Now, but just please, I'm coming from a place of ignorance because I've never gone through it. But when you hear the, you know, that lack of insurance.
Yeah.
You know, no one at a hospital is going to treat you or a child for cancer if you're not insured. Isn't that accurate? Isn't that true? Is there any way that they, yes. unless you go to like a St. Jude's or something
yes.
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, or right? if you
it's
can pay it.
It's not going to be immediate.
Or if you can could, pay it. I mean, if.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think if you can pay it, you have insurance, Rob. That's just the fact.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying there's no way, but.
So it, what was it like to were there ever any moments, so you were covered when he was a little bitty.
Yeah, well,
he
got diagnosed when he was just under three, and he was in treatment for 3.5 years.
Amazing.
And if you think about the amount of visits, and leukemia is funny because, ha, 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 no, not that way, but it's unique in the way that there is a children's cancer bank where they have all the results of every childhood cancer since about 1965, I think. So they are constantly updating how the treatment goes. When Robert was diagnosed, they literally handed us a binder, like 4 inches thick, that was his roadmap. And it spelled out what we would do on a weekly basis to cure him. And to let you know how organic it is, we met a family that was diagnosed same variety of cancer. A week later, they got a different roadmap. It changes all the time. And so we did all of these treatments and little things you don't even expect. He, to make sure that the cancer was being fought in his body, you had to sort of beat down his resistance because that allowed the chemo to work better. But because of that, he was very susceptible to other things. If he got, and Mike, you can verify this after having some kids, it's not a big deal if your kid gets a fever of 100.5. You know, right. That's just a kid's fever.
Right.
If Robert had a fever of 100.4 or higher, we had to take him to the emergency room.
Oh, wow.
And it was scary because it was drop everything and get him there because his body didn't have the wherewithal, the blood cells to fight it. And, you know, weekly tests. And they
do you happen to remember the largest bill you ever got from
I do
doctors?
Remember putting in a claim for $125,000, but that was several things together. It was one fax for $125,000.
Do you know what's fascinating? And thank you for sharing that because you never know what people are going because they don't you know, Rob doesn't really tell us.
I have a t-shirt
overall.
That says you never know how bad a day yeah. somebody's having or what somebody's going through.
Sometimes you're not allowed to talk about it.
But not because of us.
Don't, I know, no,
just,
I know.
Let's be clear. People hear that, they're like, no, we would love you to talk about it. I saw my parents this weekend and my father's still in town and they were talking about his cancer treatment, same situation.
Yeah.
How they didn't know that he had gallbladder cancer, which by the way, if you don't know, is, you know, high percentile fatality.
Mm-hmm.
And like my father, for the first time, let his guard down and explained how scared he was because he thought, like, it was stage three, if I'm not mistaken. He thought that it was like, this is it. Like, it's a 50-50 shot
yeah.
if he's going to make it.
I remember you brought it in to us and discussed it, and it was almost...
I was terrified.
It
but
was
I
a
was,
fait accompli.
I guess even then you're hopeful, but hearing your father
hopeful,
say,
yeah.
like, hey, like, mm-hmm. I was writing letters to you guys. That floored me.
Wow.
Wow.
How long was his treatment for that?
3 years.
Another 3 years. That seems to be the norm with that. So, you know, getting back to the whole insurance thing, you're in between and you sit there and, you know, you don't think you're gonna get the major disease in 24 hours, but it's still every day that goes by.
Yeah,
sure.
You're kind of waiting, and they hold all the cards. I was talking to a neighbor of mine. They hold all the cards. They hold you over a barrel, and it's stunning. It really is stunning. And now, because I haven't been covered for the month of February, it's a scary situation because I've got to pony up from the past, and I'm just telling them I already paid a premium that was my new rate, and you're overcharging me by $1,000 per month for that rate.
Is it because you tell them the rent stays the same?
Yeah, that's what you need to
do. Stays as same as before. Scary. My father worked for the industry for 35 years, so it put food on my table, the insurance business.
And my father was get frustrated? I'm sorry to interrupt, but did he ever get frustrated with the system? Because I know the system was different.
Never heard that from my dad. Never heard anything about finances from my dad. Never did. My parents created, like, by the way, this was a kinder, gentler time. Believe it or not, it was. This was a time when middle-class people in America would not be identified easily as middle class. There were many, 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 many more people at this level. I talk about it all the time. You were dealing with my hometown where, and this is just my memory of socioeconomic levels. My father, who was a college educated insurance executive, played in the same arena financially with the guy that owned the gas station and the guy that was the plumber and the guy that was the doctor, that it was there. I remember there was one family in my hometown, and believe it or not, this is a funny name, but I remember the name, the Wrenches. And they were Dr. and Dr. Wrench. And they had a house on the hill, a white mansion on the hill, and all that was ever really said about it was, well, they're both doctors, and they had their office in their house up there. Other than that, I'm talking about everybody. Pratt & Whitney Aircraft, factory workers that lived in my hometown. Same houses, same schools, same everything. And it was a wide variety of people. So the nuts and bolts of that, when I really look back at my mom and dad, it was never a feeling of that we get nowadays when you'll drive by. We get it every day. I get it every day here.
You get it. You get it.
I get it down here because I see, you know, I'll see an automobile drive by that costs more than my home, and I'll drive by and I'll just be like, And you stop and it's kind of down here with the south of me, 25 minutes south of me are people at a certain level. I never experienced that growing up. Did you experience it in your neighborhood when you were growing up, one of you guys?
No. Oh, well, look. I lived in an apartment for the majority of my childhood and then a townhome, and then we didn't move to a single family home until it was later in life. I was going to be a sophomore in college, junior in high school.
So did you have a sense of because the haves and have-nots when you were a kid?
I never felt that way because I knew that we were immigrants and we were just doing the best we could with what we had.
That's how you perceived it.
Yeah, it's all that was like, it wasn't ever going to be like we would go. I remember we would go and my dad for 10 years would look at model homes. It would piss me off as a brat kid because we'd never buy a house. We'd just go and look at them. And I was like, well, this is sad.
He was striving for it, right?
That's what he would said. He said, you just have to, you know, this is what we'll have one day. We just have to believe in it.
Manifestation right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
We work hard and save up. And there were the only time I ever felt discriminated against when we were kids is when they wouldn't show my father the model home.
Wow.
And he had to pull out he would walk around with his pay stub, all his paperwork, because there were times where he wasn't allowed to see the house.
Wow. Way back when.
Yeah. And I remember
not really that long ago.
I remember I didn't understand, and my father was so calm. My mom would get so mad, and my father was so calm about it that he'd go and get his folder from the Toyota Corolla, or the Volvo.
Dealt with it growing up and coming up through the ranks of where he worked.
He'd pull up the file folder with all his paperwork, and then he'd walk back into the little trailer and then show it to them, and then they would show us the house.
Wow.
Which is probably illegal in many ways.
Oh, it's totally illegal now.
But as a kid and as an immigrant, my dad's much darker than I am. He was used to it.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is what it is. My mom would get upset. And then I remember just being in the car, like, dad, you know, mom's upset. And dad's like, he'd say, Jolie, just hand me the folder. And then he'd go, and then we'd tour the house.
Yeah. That's amazing. That is so amazing. Wow.
I saw haves and have-nots develop as I grew up. Because when I was born, our first house was in, and I'll just explain this to people that are around the country. We lived in a town called McLean. McLean is about one city away from the District of Columbia, and it is now
one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the United States.
Exactly.
In the
world. Exactly. Not the case when I was born. We lived at the bottom of a hill in was a Depression era Sears pre-cut house where, you know, you would buy a house and Sears would deliver you the lumber.
Kind of near farmland too, right?
Well, that's the deal, is that it was still had the reputation of who wants to live out there.
Those houses still stand in many areas, right?
Of course. Well,
they
were
well-built homes.
They were.
The Kennedys had like a...
Yeah, Hickory Hill.
The farmhouse.
Hickory Hill was in McLean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But as I grew up on that road, it was called Park Road in an area called Chesterbrook, I saw what used to be land, houses go up, and the houses got bigger and bigger and bigger and prohibitively bigger. Like the land where my little Sears house was when I was 5 years old now has like a $2 million house on it. And it's just crazy to drive that neighborhood. And I saw it happen. And as I got older, my friends at school, some of them were haves and some of them were have nots. Like, and it's stupid things that you notice, but I mean, got to remember the era. VCRs, something I remember being so pissed with a guy named.
No, but that's valid because I had a moment like that with the aforementioned guy that I mentioned last week on the show. They had a color TV.
And yeah,
it was
exactly.
A big, 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 big deal.
We were in industrial arts, and Eric said, I said, did you see some show that was on last night? It was a hot show, okay? I don't remember what the TV show was. He says, no, I'm grounded, but I taped it, so I'll get to watch it anyway. And I said, oh.
Oh, my God.
That
you've
is
got a VCR. Yeah, that's
awesome.
Crazy.
You are so lucky. And, you know, and then it's just little things like that they didn't care about. A lot of people with pools. We never had a pool. You know, it just starts to.
But I think that you can go back, and that is the that now today, especially with everything going on, I think it's a bigger gulf. I think there have always been the haves and have-nots. There have always been the king and the peasants. But nowadays, you have many, 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 many more haves and many more have-nots,
and a bigger gulf between.
See, I don't. And this is, and I'm not trying to, I'm not, this has nothing to do with politics. I just want to be very clear here. I think that we are, with Instagram and social media, that we are more of a, like, show-off society than we have ever been in our
totally
lifetime.
I totally believe that.
Yeah, so, you have more outlets for it. Yeah.
So let's think about
conspicuous wealth is what you're talking about, where we want to show the stuff we have, show the house, show the
correct.
Car.
So that may be a byproduct of like essentially how we perceive someone's life.
Yeah.
And not necessarily what they're living every day.
Oh, you mean, are you talking about like the people that, you know, may drive that car, may live in that house, but you don't know their reality. And how they're managing to get that done.
And I think that's even, and I only have a glimpse of it, Mike, because DC by design or whatever is much more conservative. It just is.
Yeah.
If you're wealthy, you probably don't know it. Like really wealth, real wealth, you don't know it. You just don't know.
There
it's
are
the
articles
next
written
door.
About it that if you want to see the guy that's got $10 million, you probably can't tell because he's walking around in a cotton T-shirt and work boots. And he's got more money than Jesus, but you can't tell because he's not flaunting it.
That's really not – it's the perspective of – I remember talking to one of my classmates from business school, and you know, he works for J.P. Morgan Chase, and he's a VP there. And I said, oh, like, am I going to be working with you in the business banking? And he said, you know, maybe in 5 to 10 years when you're mid-market. And I was like, great, what's mid-market? I'm thinking radio terms.
Yeah.
He goes, you have to be generating a minimum of $20 million annually in revenue.
Mid-market.
Yeah. That's mid-market.
Right. Meanwhile, when Oscar heard mid-market, he thought he had to move to Cincinnati.
Middle America. Yeah.
So talk about humbling.
Yeah, humbling. That's why we all need insurance.
Mike, you live in a yeah, we visited. Like, there is a big show. Like, there's
I am 25 minutes north of one of the great conspicuous wealth areas of the United States. I mean, there the people, the towns, when you talk about Naples, Florida, that are mentioned are Beverly Hills.
No, where my sister
the Hamptons
lives.
In Long Island.
I feel a certain way when I visit my sister.
Yeah.
Where you just drive around and you're like, whoa.
Right.
This is wild.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I don't feel. I don't feel it's unfair.
Oh, I don't feel it's unfair either. I think that I'm just talking about the way it is. I'm just talking about that you see that you're aware of that gulf more today than I could talk about politics, but I'm not going to.
But it depends on where you live.
It depends on where you live, and I also think that with so much and so many people having so much nowadays, it's just it's strange. We think they do because they might be struggling, and you don't know. You don't really know. So one day they're not there. One day they've moved. They're just completely gone.
I haven't seen a car in the circular driveway in quite some time.
Hey, before we get to where's the running time on this this Riverside
it's
thing?
Right underneath the clock. Do you see it?
He might need to open his side.
It's at the bottom. Oh, okay. You shouldn't have to open the side. It should be underneath.
All right, I'll look.
That's only for us.
Oh, he doesn't get to see it?
He gets to see it if he opens up people.
Oh, okay, have him do that.
Okay, I got it.
People. The people who need people,
Hit
Oscar,
people.
Are the
luckiest
people.
Oh, we got to take
people.
A break. Sorry.
Yes,
that's
we do.
It. We have to take a break. Now I know. See? I was able to do that. Man, I wish I could make that font larger. I want to come back, and we've got a round table, but I also want to talk about an amazing documentary that I've seen this week. My little 3-day weekend. And
was the documentary about Dr. Wrench?
It was about Dr. Wrench and Blue Cross Blue Shield. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Hi, everybody. Welcome back, Nutrafol.
Yay!
Did you know that 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime? Get ahead of it with Nutrafol, a clinically tested hair growth supplement for men.
Get my pills.
You don't have to choose between hair growth and your health. Nutrafol's drug-free whole-body approach promotes hair growth from within. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com/men for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. You can purchase online with no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months thanks to Nutrafol. Oscar is seeing thicker hair and he has a sickness for the thickness.
He does. As a matter of fact, there he is with his pills. He made
Oscar,
it.
I'm going to step out, and I'm going to let you tell everybody about your own experience with Nutrafol, because I have to get
some
copy.
You filthy animals.
Be nice.
Look at this hairline. Can't afford surgery. Not these days.
You're not going to Tunisia or wherever?
Saving up for a remodel for the old Casa de Santana. So why would I do that if we have Nutrafol?
You've been on it for a while,
Four pills every day, every morning, usually right after the show, now during the show.
There he goes.
Boom, bam. Good to go.
Yum, yum.
I feel great.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription. And free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code TMOS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men and enter promo code TMOS. That's Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code TMOS.
Hey, that's Julie. I didn't mean that.
Come on.
There it is. That's the Kraken.
Julie has strong hair.
She does. Very beautiful hair.
Beautiful.
I didn't mean that. People,
beautiful hair.
Really we start today with Michael Keaton. And well, let me turn that up a little bit. Thank you very much. Could you hear it? Do they teach you that here? Thank you. Monday after a three-day weekend. Michael Keaton met his Beetlejuice return with hesitance and caution because it had to be done right. I like this.
Okay.
I'm old. He and director Tim Burton decided early on that if they did a sequel, it had to, quote, feel handmade, especially with all the technology there is today. Michael says, quote, what made it fun was watching somebody in the corner actually holding something up for you to watch. Everybody in the shrunken headroom. Remember that scene?
Yes. Yeah.
When he goes in there. I love that. I wanted them to say, those people under there operating these things, trying to get it right. When you get to do that again after years of standing in front of a giant green screen, pretending somebody's across the way from you, it's enormous fun. Beetlejuice, which is the sequel, that'll hit theaters September 6th. And I think it's going to be, I think Michael Keaton could do that if he was 90 years old. And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I think Michael Keaton retains a great reputation of being a funny guy and a good guy. I mean, it goes way back. I mean, even a simple movie like Mr. Mom, how great he was in a stupid movie like that. And he's made a lot of great movies since then. So I wish him all the best. I think he's a good class act.
Hey, if you're a Schadenfreude kind of person and you enjoy watching a person fall on stage, well, Madonna hit the boards during a show at the Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle on Sunday. It doesn't seem like this one was her fault, though. I watched the video.
We have the video if you'd like to see it.
Okay, she's sitting in a chair and one of the dancers comes from behind and it's not that bad a tumble. Let's roll that tape right now and let's see it. Look at how she handles it, though. She's a pro. She's kind of looking at him like he's a dick.
Yeah.
You know, after that, like, what did you do? And then is it she or he? I can't tell.
What amazes me is, despite all of that falling and getting up, her vocal never stops. What a pro.
Yeah. Madonna played it off well. She continued pretending to sing, and her pre-recorded track never skipped a beat. So good for her. Way to go, Madonna.
Do you think, I don't think people give her enough credit for just still doing it at her age.
No, I agree. I think she's great.
Well, the thing is, though, Madonna, look, I think that there are artists out there that can get it done for a long time. What I can't stand is when they feel the need to go with the plastic surgery in many different areas of her body and her face where, you know, how can someone with that much wealth end up botching plastic surgery?
Do you really think she's had surgery?
Guys.
Thank you very much. That's good. Oh, there it is.
We have Carrie looks great and
dynamite.
You know, and she doesn't love that plastic surgery, right? And she went to a top surgeon, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's relative to like what your face ends up being.
I think there are people in Hollywood, and I'm trying to think of an example where they've had work done.
Oh, okay. The cat lady.
The cat lady.
The extreme, right?
But there are people you really can't tell unless you really pay attention to it.
If you can't tell, you've done the job. That's it.
And then there are people like Madonna that come out and it's like,
yes.
I just have never understood that. And then she got the butt implants?
Oh, the BBL?
Yeah.
I can't tell. I don't
Rob, why did you get quiet there?
I was thinking back.
It's funny because I said butt, and you went.
No, I was thinking back. I don't recall the butt implants.
Didn't she get butt implants?
Can you confirm that?
I'm sure she did.
Let's confirm.
I thought she had.
That's something I think we can look up.
I thought they had, unless it was photoshopped, she had a shot for butt implants. I don't know.
Type in BBL Madonna
question mark. I don't spend a lot of time reading about Madonna's butt, but there you have it. There was a hilarious Ask Reddit from a while back that asked the question, what's the redneckiest thing you've ever done? I believe that on this show, I am the redneckiest one on this show. I think there's
I'll give you that.
Not even a close second.
You're like a moth to like trashiness.
I am. I am always have.
So trashiness is the flame.
Is the flame, yeah. Because when we... Like, of all the nice places you have down in Florida, you took us to the trashiest places available.
Thank you.
You're like, look at this.
Thank you.
And I'm like,
Well, yeah,
oh, come on. We could have done this in Manassas.
Yep, you
Oscar,
could have.
You got to understand, that's not trashiness. That's knowing where the food is. And we took it to great restaurants. He really
I don't
did.
Like to overpay.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about
we,
that.
We could have gone to the club. That would have been so great. It would have been classy.
The club? Oh, yeah, the
you
club.
Didn't, you didn't want to see us.
Club. I'm kind of worried about the club.
No, I would have loved to, but I mean, ka-ching,
the hangar club.
Ding, you know?
Hangar club south.
Madonna, there are allegations, but no confirmation.
Okay, thank you, Matt. You very much.
Thank you.
Here are the top 10 rednecky things they writ down. They writ down for me. Shot at a woodpecker in my underwear. That's one. Number two, made s'mores with a Bic lighter.
That's pretty good.
I love them. Number three, super glued a backyard wrestling wound shut instead of getting stitches. That's a sports thing, too. You know,
yeah,
you
that's smart. That's glue. Smart more than rednecky, I think.
Number four, cooked a roadkill. I think there are a lot of people that are in the country. You know, if it's you know, if it still looks fresh. Went to a wedding where the bride and groom used to be step siblings.
That'd be a wedding worth going to.
Right? I would go to that. Yeah,
I'd go to that one. Ate Walmart fried chicken, drank beer, and floated down a river on an inflatable air mattress.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
You're a little rednecky when you go tubing.
That. Yeah, you're also a lobster red. Sunburned.
Yeah, yeah, it almost killed me. And I, you know why? Because I didn't have the beer.
Brought That's two why. Goats home in the back of my Mustang.
Had I never put animals inside of a car.
Had a John Deere tractor themed wedding. Used a slingshot and dried beans to drive a possum off my porch. Get me some
Winner,
dried beans.
Funny.
I need ammo. And number 10, got too drunk to fish. There they are, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed
those.
That's
pretty drunk. Yeah.
Very, very,
but
very
never
drunk.
Put animals in a car. I know that my Uncle Philip, when he was younger, to get back at one of his father's friends, put a turkey in his car.
Ooh.
And he...
To get back at his friends? I don't understand.
No, it was
like a prank.
A prank for one of his father's friends, one of Big Daddy's friends. And he put this in the car and he said.
So he put it in someone else's car.
Yeah, someone else's car. Yeah, yes. And it was such an S machine. And I remember Earl saying, I can understand the thing going to the bathroom, but how did it get S on the ceiling?
Feathers flapping around.
That's a lot. I mean, I'm talking actual excrement stuck to the ceiling of his car.
Bad news. New study looked at the top bacteria hotspots in movie theaters and found the average seat has 1,864 colonies of bacteria. That's 14 times more than the average toilet seat. Toilet seats are actually cleaner than you might imagine, believe it or not. I believe it. If you're a clean person, you take care of it. One spot was even more disgusting than the seat itself. The cup holders had an average of 2,396 colonies of bacteria. That grossed me out so much when I think of my standard is a drink in a theater.
Yeah.
I always go into a theater with a drink, usually rye. 18 times more than a toilet seat. The good news is most of the bacteria they found was pretty harmless, and not the kind that makes people sick. Even though those numbers may seem high, your average kitchen sponge is actually grosser than that. Well, you can smell your kitchen sponge.
Yeah. Do you, I don't remember, like the worst thing I've ever, the sticky floors, you know, that'll kill
that'll
you.
That'll get you, yeah.
But I've never felt like a booger or a piece of gum underneath the actual arm of the chair.
And you've well, looked.
Good. Yeah.
God
no,
knows
no,
you've
No,
looked.
Like, you know, you'll just put your arm down. And you're like, I hope somebody, like, people can do anything.
I'm
at least
thinking,
for my theater.
As soon as I had that story about the cup holders in the movie theaters, I would think of removing it. And I know my hand goes down to where the Griblies are.
Oh, yeah, you're in there.
It's just so friggin' nasty. And I thought about the theater that I go to with the big seats that got decimated during COVID, and now these seats are practically shredded. They're so. Have you guys been into one of those big leather-backed recliner
movie
theaters that's threadbare where they don't update
them?
All theaters are
kind of dying right now.
The
but
Cobb is really bad.
But the seats in the Georgetown Theater, the seats that were originally there were the Triple OG from 15 years ago. The new leather ones or pleather ones, those seem to be holding up okay.
Okay. All right. The ones in this theater are sad and gross. Sad. Because you look at that and it's got the splits. You know, leather, as much as we love leather, leather does not hold up. You can look at some of the most exotic cars in the world. And what's the tell? The driver's seat. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's an Aston Martin, a Bentley, a Rolls Royce.
Take a look.
It's the driver's seat. Same thing happens in a movie theater with leather-backed recliners. They ought to have a different material that sustains a little bit.
This story makes me want to change how I normally go to the movies, because what I do is I sit in the seat and I open my Mike and Ike's and I pour them into the cup holder. And
for convenience sake, so you'd have to deal with the
cardboard. Who wants to deal with the box?
So gross. Makes me throw
up. I put my finger in there, stir them up, because you want a good mix.
That is so disgusting. Ew. Oh, by the way, before we get to our final story here, I want to say camp chairs, all right? The kind of chairs you take to a sporting event, all right? I'm tired. I don't want to spend money. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm tired of crappy camp chairs that always, Carla had one last week, and the little crisscross bolts and everything, they just don't hold
up. Didn't I send you a link of the ones that I have that I love years ago?
Oh, that's right, the Dom DeLuise collection.
Mike, you laugh if you will, but they are designed for the larger man, but because of that, they wear like iron.
I don't need the larger anymore.
No, but it doesn't look like it's the larger, it's just more durable.
Okay. All right. I want a good one. I really want a good that kind of crap that all these parents use when we go between the tents that people sit under in the hot sun or the chairs. It's just the land of, yeah, they're cheap and they last because they're cheap. They last like one season. It's not fair. Yeah. No. Yeah, they teach you that here. Forget it. Finally tonight, firefighters in Massachusetts said major traffic delays were caused when an overturned milk truck spilled about 10,000 gallons of moo cow milk onto a Massachusetts turnpike on-ramp. The Auburn Fire Rescue Department, I know where Auburn is, I've driven by it many times, said the truck rolled over on the ramp from Route 12 West to Interstate 90 West. I've been, this is right around the place where my mom used to, go to die. Causing 10,000 gallons. I didn't know how else to put it. Because just joking, Mom. Make do a little shtick.
She understands. Okay. Well phrased.
All right. I'm sorry. Tell the joke real quick for people that haven't heard.
Please. Right? Please.
I'm taking my mom up to Bedford, Massachusetts, where her assisted living facility is going to be. In the car with my mom is my sister, me, my two daughters, and Carla. Mm-hmm. All of us in the car together, taking my mom up there. Kathy, we're jammed into this little car, this tiny little car. We're all jammed into it. Kathy, my sister, is giving the blow-by-blow description as we're driving there. She says, now, this is a nice place, Mom. Now, first of all, you get your own little apartment. You can have a car there. If you want to go into the city, you can take your car. Now, the next phase, that's phase one. Phase two, if you need someone to come in and assist you with little tasks, something you might need, cleaning, cooking in some cases if you need that. Now, phase three, on property is a full-fledged nursing facility if you have severe medical issues. At this moment, we are driving by a New England cemetery over on the left with a stone wall and all the gravestones. And Kathy looks out the window and goes, and that would be phase four. God. Oh, God. If you don't laugh, you cry, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, so 10,000 gallons of milk spilled on the highway. No injuries were reported as a result of the crash, but major traffic delays were reported as a result of the spilled milk and ensuing cleanup operation. By the way, this story comes across your feed today. Remember, do not accept the cookies. I wrote that myself. Thank you. Cookies and milk.
Right.
Get it?
Get it.
It's a joke. Milk. Cookies. I don't know why that makes me happy, but it really does. Maybe because I'm just a hat with a capital H. We'll be right back. Fuel your peak performance with 4 Wellness. I hope you saw the video of Carla putting together her little coffee package.
We did.
Yes. Yummy, yummy, loving her tummy. 4 Wellness, the ultimate functional food brand. Rob's holding it up right now. Oscar's holding it up in a second here when he puts his Washington, D.C. pillow back. 4 Wellness, founded. There it is. There's the stuff. Founded by Phil Mickelson and renowned performance coach Dave Phillips. It's a game-changing performance coffee supplement. You can elevate your brew with just one scoop for enhanced focus. reduce caffeine jitters, increase collagen and fat burning support. But that's not all. Dive into their recovery gummies packed with antioxidants and electrolytes, perfect for pre-workout or post-golf recovery. Need a sweet treat? Try the chocolate brownie.
Delicious, delicious.
Four Wellness makes it easy to integrate high-quality functional ingredients into your daily routine. Plus, with a risk-free 60-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Unleash your full potential with 4 Wellness. If you drink coffee, it's time to give 4 Wellness a try. Head to 4wellness.com/TMOS and use code TMOS for 25% off your order. Again, that's 4wellness.com/TMOS for 25% off, and make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about what Oscar came in here today.
Yes.
With the
yes.
helicopter
the crash
landing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Now, before we pull it up, this is good for audio and video for those of you at home, so don't fret. The ordeal of a crash landing, I think, is not just fascinating to me, but I think, moreover, is terrifying. Terrifying because you are only as good as the parameters of the crash, as in, do you have a qualified pilot? Do you have somewhere to land? I've been watching the Apple series that shows all the B-2 bombers and how they're either landing or crashing or dying.
The old ones.
Yeah, the old guys, but you know, it's still the pilot skill set, right? Outside of the theater of war. And if you can just, we'll take a beat here, play this, and then I'd love your take. This helicopter is, I don't even know where they are, but the pilot is with an instructor, and they land.
Engine failure. Ooh. All right.
Oh, my God.
Shoot, okay.
Ooh, that was crazy.
Whoa, so mayday, mayday, mayday. Uniform Echo Tango. Okay. Thor, we're gonna be okay. I've got control here. Okay. You're flying with me. So we're coming down. I
helicopter.
See the Stave River down there. We're gonna come down and land on the Stave River there. Just controlling our RPM. Speed's pretty good. What I'm actually doing, I'm at 80 knots right now, so I'm glide stretching a little bit, okay? So I'm just going to make sure that we're stretching as far as we can here.
Wow.
Because I want to have time when we get down into this valley. It's a good thing we got a river valley down here.
Yeah, we have good beaches there.
Yeah, I think I'm already starting to see some beaches. Okay. All right, we're coming
helicopter
through 5,000 feet.
Field.
All right, there's some beaches exposing themselves over there, so let's just keep an eye on those guys. Those are going to be the ones. Now we want to pick a target where we're going to go to nice and early so that we can try and range variate to that target.
So okay? Calm.
So I still have 80 knots. It looks like we're going to make the spot.
I disagree.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to start gently slowing down.
It's almost
down
there. Just listen to the way he
for the auto-rotation.
Calculates this.
We want 50 knots. And so I'm just gently bringing it down to 50 knots. We're controlling rotor RPM. And all right, I've got a spot in mind there.
You have a pilot's
view. Something we need to be really thinking about.
And the helicopter.
This is really, really critical. Something we need to be thinking about is we can't land on those rocks. Like if we slide onto those rocks, we're gonna flip over, right? So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to scout a spot already from up here where maybe it's more sand than it is rocks. Like, you see all these big rocks here?
Yeah.
That's not going to end very well for us. So I think our only shot is on the left side of that beach right there.
Yes, I agree.
You see in the corner that it looks like there's more sand there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll keep assessing it on the way down and make sure that that's okay. But we've only got one shot at this. I mean,
I trust you, $8,500. If anyone can do it.
Okay, pause it for a second, Matt. Is this a real crash or is this an exercise where he's showing?
No, this is a real helicopter engine failure.
Why would he? If it's a real engine failure, why is he instructing the? Why is he talking about his moves, or is he doing that because that's procedure?
If you listen, he will talk about it.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm setting up, and I'm just going to keep talking it through. It's better to talk it through when you have an emergency. So we're holding 50 knots here. Hit me RPMs in the green. We're facing right at our spot right now, and I'm just checking if there's any other hazards on the way down here, and it looks like we're all nice and clear. Okay, and it looks like we're going to be a little bit short. So what I'm doing, I'm glide stretching a little bit. So I'm getting a little bit of that speed back again. Lower RPMs.
He's approaching.
Okay. And we're coming in.
This is terrifying.
It is.
All right, this is going to work just perfectly right here. Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Ooh. We're going to be okay.
Nicely done, man.
We did it, buddy. Oh, my goodness.
We're on the ground. That was insane.
We're alive.
Wow.
That's crazy. Wow.
What an experience, man.
Yeah. Live to die another day, right?
Okay. So
the composure, there are not a lot of guys that would do that. No. I even pilots, I think, would be. I know you're trained to maintain your composure, but that was stunning to me. If it's
you know
true.
What was horrifying to watch is how slow the rotor of the blades above them was going. So,
well, that might be the video
that's
component,
just, that's
too.
The, that's the video. That.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%, or else it wouldn't be up in there.
I was going to say, that's why I was...
Now, if you look up a propeller on a camera...
Haven't you seen propellers on videos before?
Like, they just look like
they're
going slow.
Where they look like that, because it's video, it's not capturing...
Well, with engine failure, I thought they were on momentum, because... I don't know.
A helicopter would fall out of the sky if it wasn't spinning.
If it was going that slow.
I think Rob is right, because he said 50 RPMs.
Yeah, but
that's one
I'm
rotation.
Talking
that's
about
less than one
the idea of video capture.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I get almighty. That, but there'll
look,
be
I did an audio
blur.
Check with both you guys. I'm going with the original.
Thank
but,
you.
You know, and then we'll get, now we'll have a whole controversy with people. No, they're right.
Okay, God guys, I've watched enough of this guy's video. All of the propellers look the same in the videos that he's put up.
All right.
So some of when he's flying, it looks like it's going slow.
Well, it did look horrifying anyway to see it. That's
like What I thought was, you know, fascinating, Mike, you asked the question, was like, why is this guy such a chatty Cathy?
And I guess it's part of their training. Does the training teach you, and I don't know, none of us know the answer to this, does the training teach you that by working it through like that, you are completely devoid of letting any panic set in because you're walking your way through every process that that you're going to do. I can't believe he brought it in that smoothly. I thought it was going to be, because we all think of a helicopter coming straight down.
Yeah.
Whereas
that
landed more like a plane, and I would have thought that it would have been curtains.
Well, isn't there, well, that's the other side.
You know, we just had that massive plane crash down here.
Some helicopters have. Like, it's only certain types of helicopters have wheels, like Airwolf.
Mm-hmm.
J. Michael Vincent, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
The late,
but
right?
This guy had just skids, and he didn't land on a beach. He landed on a rocky surface.
I'm willing to bet, Mike, that he had skids after the landing as well.
On that note, that's a good time to break. Thank you for that. We got to take a break. We're going to have a slang quiz. I'm not good at Gen Z slang, but I love talking about language.
Let's learn.
And we'll do that when we come back. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. And we'll have a slang quiz when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't reinvent yourself. Just rehydrate yourself with Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone. Please send it to me. I want it today. Please send it to me. I want it today. All in a single delicious stick. I ordered it through the Mike O'Mara Show website. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners. You can feel like a hydrated new you, ready to take on the world. Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. It's so good, so easy. I have it in my golf bag. I have it in my pantry, but I've run out of the Liquid IV in my pantry, and I ordered it, and I was late late ordering it, so I'm waiting now with bated breath for my lemon lime. Try white peach, green grape, or the aforementioned. Actually, I love them all, and you will too. Use Liquid IV to be the best that you can be. Rehydrate yourself all day long. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMOS at checkout. Be a part of the Liquid IV League.
Get it?
All right, I'm ready for the slang quiz.
Yes, this is good. This comes from dictionary.com. And they, you know, you always hear about Webster's, right? But I think dictionary.com stays one step ahead, and they're sort of plugged into what's modern. They added 327 words this year to dictionary.com. And these are the Gen Z slang terms. Let's see how you guys do.
All right, let's we'll bring in the quiz, shall we? Hey, everybody. All right, let's jingle into it, shall we? Got the Gen Z slang quiz. Yeah.
I liked when you opened the curtain there with the harps, Mike. It was like on a Let's Make a Deal.
Let's see what Jay has in the box.
Okay, let's start with Mike. This one we've used on the show, so let's see if you got this. What is the ick?
Oh, that's when...
I'm talking to Mike.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
The ick is the smell of crotch odor.
That could cause the ick, but it's not the proper definition. Oscar?
The ick is when someone does... gives you the ick, like it's a turnoff.
Yeah, exactly. Something that's icky. It gives you the ick. So it's like a red flag when you're dating.
Yeah.
Oscar, we'll start with you.
Hold on.
What? Yeah.
That was for me.
Okay. Oscar, what is mid? M-I-D, mid.
Basic, simple.
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect.
Boring?
No, I don't.
I think
so.
I got that right.
Okay.
What's your
you're close.
Definition? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're being a jerk.
Shut up, Mac. Anyway, if
something that's unimpressive or disappointing.
I thought I had a chance. I was going to say something that's unimpressive. I was just going to say that. No,
that's what I said in four different words. He wouldn't give it to me.
Right. Didn't say the words I wanted to hear.
That means we get another buzzer. Buzzer.
Speaking of buzzer, what about bus in? Mike, what is bus in?
Bussin. Bussin is the moment of when two people who are hopefully married achieve a simultaneous... and they say, I'm bussin' for you. When they, it's a way of, that moment of ecstasy. I'm bussin'.
You remind me of the old Buddy Hackett joke when two people are very closely related.
And he said, every time I achieve this moment of nirvana and ecstasy that happens at the pinnacle of a man, I sneeze. And the doctor says, what are you taking for? He said, pepper. Anyway.
I'm sorry, Mike. That is not what buzzing is. Oscar,
hey,
what is buzzing?
I have the buzzer.
Okay.
I'm
buzzing the buzzer. Oscar?
Is buzzing like rolling, killing it with the boys?
No, it is.
What is it?
Feeling great, amazing, or wonderful.
I am bussing today.
Yeah,
so. Didn't I just say that?
No, rolling with the boys. That could be anything.
I'm sorry. You get
killing it. I said killing it.
All right.
Doing great?
No. I'm sorry.
No.
All right.
Judges, I'm the judge. You can't accept
okay.
it.
Oscar, what is boobney? Yes.
Oh, I don't know what
that is. B-O-O-B-N-E.
I can guess. Boobney?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Boobney.
Boobney.
Bubney.
Disapproval?
No, I'm sorry. That is
no, don't tell. Will you give me a chance?
Yes.
All right.
This is how the game works.
Bubney is a woman who is well endowed up top, and she's gotten along in years. And so the boob touches the knee. Like the grandma in Playboy. That's the whole reference.
That's good. That,
there are some 60-year-olds that are laughing their asses off right now.
I don't know what that is. You have to look
it up
now.
There are dudes in this audience, old dudes right now that remember Playboy magazine, that are laughing their asses off right now. Boobney.
Mike, I'm sorry. You're both incorrect, so I need two buzzers.
Oh, sorry.
And... thank you. Boobney are the pimples or acne on the breast that come as a result of excess sweat and bra chafing.
Oh no.
Gross. Boobney.
I didn't know that happened.
Boobney.
Oh, man. Boobney. I bet my kid wouldn't know that one. I wish he was in here. If I'd known what this was going to be, I would have brought him in, but he's too busy playing Madden right now.
Okay. What about a sound bath? We lead with Mike on this one. The sound bath.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah. A sound bath is when you are getting out of the shower and you are breaking wind in the bathroom space, which is cavernous, of course, and it makes a sound bath of, you know, a fart noise.
I wish I could give it to you, but that is incorrect.
Damn it.
Oscar, sound
bath. I got this, Rob.
Okay.
Got the go no further.
All right.
It's something you can get off Temu. It's a bunch of little pieces of soap that are music notes, and you throw them into your bath.
Not true. I'm sorry.
He
incorrect. A sound bath is listening to bells and chimes for oral therapy and mental well-being. It is in opposition to listening to music on headphones.
I'm so glad you said that you get online. Tomorrow, please. Yeah. Mac, I'll send it to you tonight. Tomorrow, I believe I have found the key to fixing my crooked nose.
Ooh,
that's all I
seriously?
Wanted to say. Yes. Yes, I just have to find somebody to do it. I have to find somebody that's skilled.
I'll be there in 20 minutes.
That's it. I don't want to talk about it any further. We'll do it tomorrow. Please remind me. Please.
What is the Bechdel test?
The Bechdel test?
And we actually lead with Oscar on this one.
Thank you. It's the symmetry of your nose to, and the eyes to the face and how good looking you are, named after David Beckham.
No, that's incorrect.
Hey, are you going to give him the answer? You were going to give him the answer again.
No. All right. Settle down, man.
But you were.
No, I wasn't.
You were.
I was not. I was going to say we need a buzzer, and then Mike gets to weigh in. The Bechdel test, and I'll spell it for you, Mike. Bechdel.
Ooh.
Bechdel test.
Okay, the Bechdel test is it's another term for when you go in to get a physical, and the doctor checks your prostate. That is known. He puts the glove on, and that is, oh, God! That's the Bechdel test.
Dr. Wrench that does that?
Dr. Wrench, yeah. Well,
no,
he used a wrench.
That was incorrect, Mike.
Okay. Rusty.
Buzzer for me.
The Bechdel test is a measure to chart the representation of female presence in works of fiction. So if there is a high presence
How
of
is
female...
How is that Gen Z slang?
It's what it is. It's what it is.
Really, it's what it is. That's a good
say
answer.
Say that again.
Yeah. Okay. The Bechdel test is... I'll read you the whole definition.
Nothing slang Thank you. About that.
The measure used to chart the representation of females presence
really
in the works of fiction.
Did you see him get really exasperated with me just then? Oh, God.
Well, because we want to understand the meaning.
Yeah, it's documenting whether a work includes at least two fairly important female characters who talk to each other about something besides a man.
I call it too much.
The concept was initially established in 1985 by author Alison Bechdel in her comic strip, Dykes to Watch Out For.
Bikinis at the Beach, I call it too far. back to you, Ollie.
I hold in my hand the final piece of slang. And we will lead.
I thought we were doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good at the beginning. We will lead this time with Mike.
Hi.
Stand strong, Mike.
Mike.
Stand strong.
What is a shacket? S-H-A-C-K-E-T.
A shacket is a man that has a lot of money, like Shaquille O'Neal.
That is
incorrect. He's a shacket.
You need to
and he's your friend. And if he's your friend, you would call him Buddy Shacket. I'm
Pepper.
So sorry. Peppa, what are you taking for it? Peppa.
Okay, Oscar, I think you can get this if you put your mind to
Yes, this is Friends with Benefits.
No.
Oh, you're living with someone. Shack it up.
No,
we're on the same page. Yeah, we're on the same page.
No,
yeah.
A shacket is a mashup of a shirt and a jacket, a garment in the style of a button-down shirt made of a thicker fabric and worn over other shirts. Oscar is wearing a shacket today.
Look at this.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
See?
I'm wearing a shacket.
That's a shacket, baby.
No, it's not a shacket because it doesn't have buttons.
He has a zipper.
I've got
it's
a zipper.
It's a zip-up shacket.
A shacket would be like a flannel thing up in Maine that you would wear as a jacket.
Oh, he's right. This isn't a shacket.
That's not a shacket.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad this game made everybody happy.
You didn't acknowledge my correct identification of that. You are frustrated with me, and that is not a shacket that he is wearing right now.
Mike, it's not a shacket.
It's a jacket without a collar.
Those 9-year-old
animals.
Animals. Yes, I've been drinking. I've been drinking a tremendous amount today.
Shack it up.
Thank you, Mac. You all right?
I'm great.
Okay. Sorry, I told you.
Yes, he is.
I think Rob's right. Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more. Michael Mara Show. Oh, want to use that controller. Use that controller to get the copy for the next commercial, because this portion of our program is Legacy Box. God, I love them. Just like us, you're going to love it too. Do you know where your box of old home movies is? Have you checked that box in a while? They teach you that there? Wanted to say that 3 times on the show today. Make sure they aren't too hot, damp, or molding. Yuck.
Ew.
And make sure whatever you do, you don't leave them in a cup holder at a movie theater.
No.
Every day, your home movies and photos are slowly fading away. But Legacy Box is easy. Load your Legacy Box with your old tapes, film, and pictures, and send it back. You'll get it back on a thumb drive or on the cloud. I'm trying to read this like I saw David Jansen on YouTube last night, an old Carson clip that I was watching. It was David dancing for Excedrin. And I'm trying to. I don't have his voice, but.
No, you don't. But it's a good effort.
You'll get it back on a thumb drive or on the cloud. Ready to watch and easy to share. It's so simple, it's like magic. Preserving your family's heritage is the only way to ensure your legacy is safe for generations. Join over 1 million families that have trusted Legacy Box. Don't wait. I'm David Jansen. I'm dead. The risk is too great. We've all used it. You can see Oscar at his first communion. Tears. I am talking. You will cry. You can see Mike watching the Red Sox with his doting father. I don't. There's not one single photograph that shows me watching the Red Sox with my doting father.
You
my doting father?
Sure.
We on the crack pipe this weekend, and Rob alone in a room wondering about his lineage while he watches reruns of Sanford and Son. All digital perfection. Look for the tears. Hey, you have tears too. Weird. For a limited time only, you can visit legacybox.com/TMOS and save 50%. That's legacybox.com/TMOS for 50% off. This sale won't last long. Legacybox.com/TMOS.
Hello.
Sorry. Mike, I didn't realize you didn't have those pictures of you and your dad. I should send you copies.
No, it's just, and I wonder what happened to me over the 3-day weekend. My ability to press the buttons has just gone a little south today, like I'm double jointed or something. Sorry, fellas.
That's all right. Do you know what a fake-triot is?
A what?
A fake-triot.
A fake-triot is somebody who pretends they're patriotic, but they're really not. They're just hateful and nasty.
They're also a red-hot Twitter group, I guess X group, that talks about how we're all under the control of other people. They're conspiracy theorists. And do you shop at Walgreens ever, Mike?
Yes, I do. Regularly. That's my lens cleaner that I'm obsessed with. I have like 9 bottles of it.
Are you aware? Do you ever buy a cold drink there?
A cold drink at Walgreens?
Yeah.
Not often. I'm sure I have.
Thank God, because if you do, you're going to get the mark of the beast. Ladies and gentlemen, Walgreens refrigerators are going to control you.
Walgreens? So they look like normal shelves, but they're not normal shelves. Every single one of them has infrared scanning sensors right here for your forehead, right? The mark of the beast on your right hand or your forehead. Speak to it. It sees you. Seek to wave. They're made out of super thick metal. If you don't have the mark later on, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you scan your hand on this. Then it's going to open for you. Then it's going to let you get whatever you need. But without the mark of the beast, you won't be able to use these in the future. These lock. Right now they're not locked, but they do lock. And they're made out of super thick metal with glass. You can't even break through them to get food.
The greatest, shut up. That is the greatest example of conspiracy theorists.
It's a great
one. Ever seen, because you have that tone. And what you don't know is I'm going to say, look at how heavy metal.
This guy's putting us on.
Well,
right?
Yeah, of course he is. I love the fact that he's somehow spotlighting Walgreens refrigerators of being made of metal and glass. The only refrigerators that are made of metal and glass.
Is there, like, I'm sorry, I couldn't read through the video here. Yeah. Is there Is it like hashtag Faketriot? Like, what is it?
No, no. Faketriot is their name. And they all...
Is he part of this crew?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Oh. And are they, as Oscar said, doing ruse videos? Or is this some guy that really is
I seem to think... if you buy into what was trending over the three-day weekend, people are... he thinks that people should buy into it. Mark of the Beast. Oh,
he shouldn't walk into these modern Whole Foods where... You just pick them up and they scan you.
Yeah.
You keep moving.
Mark of the Beast. Mark of the Beast.
Yes.
Mike, who's your favorite famous person with the name Byron?
Byron Allen.
He's good. I was thinking there's Lord Byron, the author, and of course, actor Tom Byron.
And the golfer, Byron Nelson.
But what about William Byron? Do you know of this man?
No.
He just won the Daytona 500, and his story is different than others. He came up through a different path.
So it was 40 years ago today that Hendrick Motorsports ran its first ever cup race in this race. William Byron, you have won the Daytona 500. What's up?
I can't believe it, man. It's this is incredible. I had a much different background than, you know, anybody in the sport growing up racing on iRacing on the computer, and to make it to the Daytona 500 and win the race is pretty amazing. So it's I'm just so thankful. I got a great team. And Exalta, Chevrolet, everybody. This is incredible, man. I honestly hasn't really sunk in.
So big shout out to Chevrolet for winning the Daytona over the weekend. But the fact is that his
simulator,
his training was on a video game.
Yeah, simulator.
Oh, you know what that tells me? That down the hallway from me as we speak is a mass murderer.
Now he'll transition into the we need pilots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also need people
just blowing people away like 50 at a time.
Mike, we need people to build square pigs, and he's going to be that guy.
Very exciting. Let's close
with this. Mike, are you familiar with the town of Spring, Texas?
Oh, I have a hunting lodge there. It's not a hunting lodge. It's a trailer, very inexpensive trailer, but I've also got a deer stand there.
Oh, good. They also there have an antique store, and it looked to be
a pretty, I go to it often.
It looked to be a pretty small antique store when they released. It was a silent surveillance video, so I don't have the video for you, but I do have the owner.
It's where I get my buttons.
Buttons. So this is where we release. This guy was walking around the antique store. First of all, first red flag, he's wearing a kilt. I'm not a big supporter of people that wear kilts out in public, but what he was doing was picking up small antiques and putting them way under his kilt.
Oh.
And then putting them back on the shelf. And it was
Wait, hold on. He was putting them under his kilt and then removing them and putting them back?
Yes.
Oh.
And Mike,
that means there's only one thing he was doing.
I know.
Perfect.
But this is the owner talking about how they dealt with it.
I remember when I was disgusted. That night, one of the dealers sent me a video that she had from a camera in her own booth. I think they've been in here before. The employees recognized them and said they were just, the guy was really nice and she was nice. And they just shopped around for a few hours.
What did they do with those products?
They threw them away mostly.
Yeah, Mike, they couldn't put them back on the shelf because he had wrecked them.
They were that wrecked them. They were that bad that they were.
I think you want to err on the size of conservatism when your guy is. Take, I don't know what it would be, like maybe a
spoon. He was wiping himself with a knickknack.
Yeah.
Playing hide and seek.
Look at this thimble.
I wonder if he was a Faketriot. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. We'd like to thank all of you for supporting the show with your donations, with your subscriptions to our bonus content, and with your sticker buying. Mrs. O'Meara was very pleased with your sticker buying over the weekend. And good stuff coming in that arena. We haven't forgotten about the...
Right.
I'm not going to give you a Giants hat. That's G-Men. It's nice embroidered.
G-Men.
Yeah, G-Men. We'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana and Michael McIntosh. Hi, Mac.
Hi, Mike.
Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
The sexy body and just a knockout 10. figure.
Hi, I'm Moira Rose. And if you love fruit wine as much as I do, then you'll appreciate the craftsmanship and quality of a local vintner who brings the muskmelon goodness to his oak chardonnay and the dazzling peach curl, that bull, to his Riesling Rioja.